Well, good morning. We welcome you in. It's a Thursday edition of My Car Guru, and we have the guru himself, Lenny Lawson, here in studio. Good morning, Lenny.
So how are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm just percolating right along here.
Well, we are too. We've managed to get some additional inventory. We've been actively buying cars from the general public. That is something that we have done more of in the last year than I have probably done in the previous 10 years, Tim.
Have you advertised that very much?
Yeah, we talk about that, yeah. You know, our advertisement. Whether or not, you know, if you want to trade your car, you know, we'll trade or we'll just buy it.
Okay.
And we'll pay book value or more, depending on the vehicle. We'll pay book value for anything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what people have to understand is book value is not just what it says in the book. You have to deduct for condition and so forth. We traded for an F-150 just yesterday. Just comes to mind that that was a late model vehicle. It had 39,000 miles on. The tires were worn out. So we had to deduct for tires.
Yeah.
You know, because we have to do that.
Yeah.
It also had a dent in the top of the tailgate. So we have to figure out what it's going to cost to fix that. People use their trucks. Some people preserve them in immaculate condition, and other people, you know, throw cinder block in the back of it. So we have to take that into account when we're buying somebody's car. So all of that does impact the value. Typically, when somebody, you know, I advertise on this show that I'd be love to be able to buy your vehicle or at least tell you what it's worth. And, you know, what I need is your VIN number, obviously, so I can see what it is. I have to check the vehicle history and so forth. And then I need to know what the overall condition is, you know, because sometimes people don't know how to rate that. And so that typically will take a conversation. I can't do that with text messaging.
Yeah.
You know, and I really need to talk to somebody.
Right.
But I can hit it pretty close. I mean, I can very rarely does somebody come in based on an offer that I've given them. Once I've gotten all the information, that the offer isn't the same after I've visually inspected the car. So rest easy, Tim. If you call me and you want to know what your vehicle's worth, I'm going to hit you pretty much on the money. One of the things that has really impacted the value of used cars is just availability of used cars, because new cars, we're not trading, we're not getting as many new cars in because of the chip shortage, and then therefore, you know, it's hard to trade for used cars, and when you go to the market, they're extremely high, you know, to buy them at auction. So that has changed. Another thing that really did is the Hertz bankruptcy. Did you know that Hertz went bankrupt?
I knew they had filed for bankruptcy.
You know what they filed for? It's called Chapter 11. You know, sometimes when you file for bankruptcy, you're just saying, okay, I'm not going to pay anybody. And then the bankruptcy court makes a decision about, you know, what's going to stand and what's not, what you get to keep, what you don't get to keep. Chapter 11 is a reorganization. So that gives a company to the opportunity to stay in business. And continue to operate. And that's what Hertz did. You know, they took bankruptcy, but they weren't obliterated off the planet. They still exist, and they have recently emerged out of bankruptcy and are anticipating doing really well, you know, in the coming year. They are a Florida-based company. They've been in business for more than 100 years. Can you imagine that? But they were getting ready to come out, and the plan has been approved. They have more than $5.9 billion of new equity that has been injected into that company. Two primary investors, the Knighthead Capital Management Corporation and a company called Certaris Opportunities, LLC. These companies have fought hard to be the investment bank for Hertz. And with the new infusion of money, Hertz eliminated about $5 billion of debt. They went on a fire sale, basically, last year. And they're still selling a lot of vehicles, inventory. They had about 600,000 vehicles in stock when they went into bankruptcy. And they've sold about 250,000 vehicles. And put them into the market, and you would have thought that that would have driven down values, but it was just a, you know, it's really a small number when you look at the 45 million to 50 million used cars that will be sold every year. you know, you think of, well, how many, if there's 18 million new, how many used are being sold every year? You know, and that's approaching 50 million now.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, Hertz is back. So when you land at the airport, you're still going to be able to see a Hertz sign. You know, Enterprise is a different deal, though. Enterprise is, I still think Enterprise is a privately held company. It was started by a car dealer in the St. Louis market,
mm-hmm.
and he called it Enterprise Car Rental and just started expanding. They're more into the insurance replacement, you know, when people wreck their cars and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you see a lot of local offices for Enterprise, whereas Hertz, you mostly see it at airports.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And in large cities, they probably have walk-in stores where you can go in and rent a car from Hertz. But in, you know, Enterprise is just a different deal. And but all of them have been fighting to get inventory right now. And I mentioned several weeks ago when I'm online trying to buy used cars at like Statesville Auto Auction or Atlanta or Nashville, many times I'm competing against Hertz and Avis for cars.
Yeah.
And it was never that way before, but they have to find cars to be able to rent. And since they're not building any at the factory, that kind of causes a problem.
Well, people are traveling more now, too, than they were.
That's true. So. Folks are getting out.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. So anyway, I just wanted to make that known to folks. If you may have heard about Hertz going into bankruptcy, but that, like I say, that doesn't mean that they're gone. Now, General Motors, when they went into bankruptcy, they were able to scrape off a whole lot of debt and a lot of investors, people, businesses, investment banks that had loaned a lot of money to GM and the Chrysler Corporation. They were able to eliminate all of them, and stockholders as well. You know, people who owned stock in the old GM were able to buy stock in the new GM.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a lot of court cases about, okay, since their old GM doesn't exist anymore, are they liable for recalls? Are they still liable for products that they sold?
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to get out of that as well. That really turned my stomach as far as GM was concerned.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not a big GM fan. But anyway, one reason. But I used to be. But when they pulled a stunt like that, I thought that was low.
Yeah.
But the federal courts thankfully said, no, you're still going to be liable for the products that you produced, even though that was a part of the old GM. So they can still get sued for building substandard vehicles or having recalls and things like that. So that's a good thing.
Okay.
We'll take our first break. We'll be back in just a minute.
All right. And we're back here. It is Thursday morning on My Car Guru with Lenny Lawson.
So how do you prove that a 1976 Buick has 8,000 miles on it?
How do you prove it?
So I'm selling it on bringatrailer.com,
and
they're wanting more evidence that this vehicle only has 8,000 miles.
What kind of evidence have you given them so far?
Well, you think about what does a person... You know, if somebody knows me, and they know that I'm basically what I'm going to say is true about a car, then you don't need a lot of evidence, right?
Right.
I mean, if you believe somebody, but see, more than likely, the person that's going to buy this car doesn't know me from Adam.
Right.
And so it's very rare to find a car that old that has such low mileage on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some issues that are going to... Even caused me a problem when I first started looking at this car.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep in mind, you know, this paint is, 45 years old?
Yeah.
Okay? And so 45-year-old paint doesn't always look real good. Now, this has been in a garage, and it's shiny white. When you see it, you know, in a parking lot or something, you'll say, well, that looks like new paint job.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get it inside and you look at it, you can see where the paint has started to deteriorate a little bit. And so, but the interior is brand new, the chrome looks good and all that stuff. So they're wanting me to provide them with records that show that this vehicle, you know, that would validate the miles.
Well, service records might indicate what the mileage was. But
there are none.
Okay.
So this car was purchased new in 1976 at Easterly Motor Company, which was the Buick dealer in Greenville, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
I knew Mr. Easterly. I knew the lady who owned the vehicle. I won't say her name right now, but she was really good friends with my office manager. Mm-hmm. And she used to come pick up my office manager at the Chevy store in this Buick to go to lunch together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know this, the man who was the second owner of the car. When he bought the car from her, it had obviously been serviced a couple times under her ownership. And there is a sticker on the door from 1970, you know, the oil change stickers.
Mm-hmm.
There's one on the door that's dated 1977. That's mm-hmm. the last sticker that's on the car.
Mm-hmm.
When the gentleman that I'm buying the car from bought the car,
mm-hmm.
he put it in a garage, and it never moved until I bought it.
Mm.
Now, he would start the car. You know, they would let it run for a while, run the air conditioning. We had to replace a lot of things on this car just simply because it sat.
Well, that's probably not good enough, just starting it, and, you know, you need to run it out on the road.
You really do.
Yeah.
You really do. But this car ran amazingly well.
For sitting like that.
For sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so I have to figure out, okay, well, how am I going to prove this to somebody who doesn't know me?
Mm-hmm.
And so I have the original registration when she bought it, and then I have the title when it was titled in 1977, when he bought it.
Mm-hmm.
So does that guarantee that he didn't drive it 100,000 miles or so? So you can look at the condition of the car. But see, these people can't look at this car. All they can see are the pictures that I have provided on the car.
Right. I would think a good technician would be able to look at it. Good mechanic would be able to look at it and tell if it's had the wear, the motor has had the wear or not, right?
Well, let me tell you some of the key signs that you look for.
Mm-hmm.
You want to, of course, look at the carpet. Now, can carpet be replaced? Yes. But will that carpet look like original factory carpet? No.
No.
Another thing, you look at the floor mats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you look at the, are they original floor mats? Which these are.
Mm-hmm.
They say Buick on them, and they are original with virtually no wear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just a little bit, but very little. So that's mm-hmm. one thing. Another thing is you look at the condition of the steering wheel, because this steering wheel is wrapped in leather, and it is pristine, okay? If it was a, if it had been driven a lot, there would be a lot of wear,
yeah.
you know, on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Another thing, you look at the gear shift knob, because everybody grabs the gear shift as the first thing you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at the keys. You look at the pads on the brake pedal and the gas pedal.
Not worn.
Not worn. You know, you look at the door hinges. There are lots of different things that you can look at. Now, what you have to also think is, I've seen various signs of overspray on this car. That's when they're spray painting the car, you know, at the factory,
mm-hmm.
and a little bit of paint spills over on something else. And there are signs of that, but that is abnormal now. You won't see that on a modern car. It's mm-hmm. unacceptable. But in 1976, General Motors was building a lot of crap,
mm-hmm.
you know, back then. All of them were. And, you know, they didn't take the pains to make sure,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they didn't have overspray. All of the original chrome, everything on this car, it's obviously never been painted. And then the most important thing that I have, the most important thing,
mm-hmm.
is I have the original tires. Because when the car was parked, it was parked with some Uniroyal tires that came from the factory on it,
mm-hmm.
all four of them, including the spare, which is the fifth tire, and all of those were still on the car. So that's the best evidence, and the tires look like 8,000-mile wear tires.
Mm-hmm.
So really, other than that, there's not a whole lot that I can provide, because that's the thing. When you have an old car, it's so important to keep records. You know, if you think you're going to keep a car for a long time, it's always better to have records from some third party, like a business, like a repair shop, that actually does the maintenance. For example, if you've got a Porsche, or if you've got a BMW, or usually on German cars, the most important thing to have are service records. You know, and that the service was not done by Billy Bob's Porsche Center, you know, that it was done at Rick Hill, or that it was done at Harper's in Knoxville. You know, that you have the regular maintenance services done. You note it in a book. They even have a stamp that they use at the dealership to stamp the book,
mm-hmm.
to stamp the service record, to validate that. And because it makes the car worth more.
Mm-hmm.
And so A couple other things. I have all the original documentation. The only piece of documentation that I don't have is the original window sticker, and I'm going to call the first owner and this week and see if she has it before they launch my auction.
Yeah.
So I've told a lot of that story in typewritten form and sent it to bring a trailer, but they won't put my opinions and things like that in their story. And that's one of the things I like about this particular auction site is you provide them with all this data and information, and then they write up a narrative about the car, and then they pick out which pictures that they think best represents mm-hmm. the car, because they want it to bring big money too. They want it to sell. Mm-hmm. They want it to exceed the reserve. Otherwise, the car won't sell. So they work really hard with the presentation. But they will not put any opinions or any of my speculation in there. My opportunity to do that is in the comment section, because that's another thing I like about Bring a Trailer is they have an opportunity for a place for you to make comments, because people will be making comments all the time. Mm-hmm. And many times they'll be wrong. You know, they'll point out things that they think, well, that looks suspicious. And then I have to go in there and justify it. You know, because that's people will have a comfort zone when they're buying cars there. That's why cars on Bring a Trailer will bring more money than just about any place else. It's because of the comment section. Now, sometimes it'll kill a vehicle. I had a 62 Volkswagen convertible that I was selling for a gentleman. At least he told me it was a 62. He had it titled as a 62, and I didn't know that much about Volkswagens at the time, so I put it on Bring a Trailer. I thought it was going to bring big money. Mm-hmm. That car was crucified on Bring a Trailer.
Hmm.
I mean, it was literally torn apart because it had the wrong fenders. It has said, "This no way this is a 62. Ended up, it was a 1968, which was quite different from a 62. And it also had a lot of features that had been replaced. So I ended up, I mean, I couldn't relaunch the car and come back and say, whoops, I made a mistake and relist the car. It had just too many flaws. Now, the highest bid on that car, we thought the car would bring in the mid-20s. The highest bid on the car was $10,000 because the bidding stopped when all of the uncertainty started creeping up about the car. Mm-hmm. I ended up selling the car for a little over $20,000 to a person in Nashville, but he was able to come here and look at the car and see how good it was. So, you know, accurate descriptions, understanding, being able to justify, you know, what you're selling to somebody, it makes all the difference in the world being able to realize a good price on an old car. You know, if you've got a car that has questionable history, I've got a guy that's wanting to sell me a Mustang right now. I've got to go inspect the car. And there's certain things I got to look for in order to be able to justify my purchase of the car or selling that car for them. I don't like being thrown under the bus by somebody who is not honest with me, because I'm going on an auction website that I have a very good reputation at, and I don't want to, you know, undermine my reputation. People feel comfortable bidding on my cars. They don't know me from Adam. They know my code name, okay, that I have on there, my stage name. But they know that when this guy sells cars, they can go back and look at my history on the website, and they can see all the cars that I've sold, all the cars that I've presented, and it gives me credibility.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of likes on that website, too. So, you know, once you get that that's such an advantage to somebody that's just a first time, you know, Bring a Trailer user, and that's why it's better to use somebody like me to sell your old car, your old vintage car. Now, please don't call me if you have Model A's and Model T's and stuff like that, because they don't do well on Bring a Trailer. Some of them do. If they're perfect, they do.
Yeah. But there's a lot of Model A's.
Yeah, and the hot rods don't really do that well on Bring a Trailer. They like original cars. They're really into Japanese stuff right now. So if you know anybody that has a Datsun 510, anything that's a Datsun other than a 210, you know, and old Toyotas do really well, like Coronas, and I thought that was a beer. Corona, right?
It is.
It is a beer. But anyway, Tacomas, old Tacomas, Land Cruisers always do well if you've got an old Land Cruiser of any vintage, even a newer, later model Land Cruiser. Those are doing really well right now. So anyway, got to watch out. Got to be able to prove it. If you can't prove it, it's not real, right?
I guess. All right, we'll take our last break. We'll come back and wrap it up. We're back to wrap it up here on My Car Guru.
You know, I'm serious. If you have an older car that has been in your family for a while, or let's just say that you know, you're tired of looking at it, maybe you haven't had it that long, now is a great time to sell a vintage car. It's a great time to sell any vehicle. Well, you know, as far as trade-in values, the market is going to start to change, though. Mm-hmm. As the availability of vehicles improves, of new vehicles, mm-hmm. used car values are going to take a steep decline.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be gradual, and because the market reacts real quickly. I mean, we go to auctions every week, and we have seen, you know, just radical changes in values happen. So, you know, if you're interested in selling an older vehicle, an old Bronco or 4Runner or you know, anything that you think has is 20 years old or older, then feel free to give me a call. My cell phone number is 423-552-2020. I'll coach you as to what you can do to get the most out of it, or I'll help you sell it. That's just something that I have been successful with over the time. I'm not bragging. It's just something that I do, and I can help people, and there's plenty of people out there that could attest to the fact that that's exactly what I do.
Well, you have,
and it's fun. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I can tell. You have a proven record.
Yeah, I do.
You know,
I seriously do. So go to, if you're unfamiliar with it, go to bringatrailer.com, and I've just kind of, I talk about this a lot, but it is the venue for disposing at top dollar. Mm-hmm. Just about any vehicle, if it's got good history and you've got good records. If it's not, then there are other places that we can go with that car.
All right. Once again, the guru's number, 552-2020, if you want to talk to him, My Car Guru, and Lenny Lawson. That'll do it for today. We will talk to you tomorrow on a Friday morning.